Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
What is up, all of our liberty-loving friends? This is another fantastic episode of Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network. That's right, it's Tuesday. Everyone listening with me live right now, that's who we are on Tuesdays. Of course, the rest of the week, all the other time during the week, we go by Good Morning Liberty. And this is your favorite Liberty Time program every single day of the week when we want to. Yesterday happened to be a day that we weren't able to do it. I'm hanging out with the Fed Haters Club right now, which you can join for only $6 a month by going to joingmail.com. You can hang out with myself and Charlie live every day of the week when we want to. You can vote on Dumb Leap of the Week and Dumb Leap of the Year, and you kind of run the show. Honestly, the content of the show, the direction of the show is kind of dictated by the people that we're sitting here on a daily basis hanging out with. Look at all the power that you get for as little as $6 a month. And yes, you gotta pay to vote. It is kind of like a poll tax on Fridays, and we appreciate everyone for doing that. Well, we got a few things to talk about since we weren't here yesterday. By the way, I'm Nate. Charlie, the co-host, is not here. He's in Las Vegas right now, gambling with all of the podcast money, as some of the people in the live group were saying. Although Charlie happens to be a pretty good gambler. He's pretty good at poker and tends to make money most of the time, and somehow has an amazing track record with slot machines as well. You know those slot machines where the high roller ones where you put in just a bunch of $100 bills? Those tend to pay out pretty well, and Charlie has found that out, and he's up. He's been up in his gambling career as long as he stays away from the table games. He's got to stay away from those. Okay, Charlie, if you can hear me right now, get away from the table games. You can play Cleopatra, okay, the slot machine, and you can play Texas Hold'em. Those are the only two approved games that we have for you right now. Anyway, it's Tuesday. Let's talk about what's going on right now in the world. The main thing I want to talk about, which we've talked about a bunch, but it's officially going on now. And of course, all the people I follow on Twitter are talking about this all the time. The greats out there: Bernie Sanders, AOC, Nina Turner, Robert Reich. You know, all these people out here talking about the United Auto Workers strike. And so that strike is happening now. It's not all of the plants. They're striking as their contracts expire. They're doing kind of these random strikes to keep the companies guessing, in their own words. And that I've not hidden the fact that I'm no fan of unions. It's public unions, no private sector unions. I don't even like those because many of them are it's not even whether or not you're forced to join that union. It's whether or not the company can prevent the union from forming, or what they can do after the union forms without getting in trouble with the Department of Labor. A lot of times they don't have many options other than closing those factories down and moving, which in fact they have done in the past. You see the destruction of Detroit. A lot of these companies decided they were just going to move to Mexico or China or wherever. That had a lot to do with it. And when I see these people striking, I'll be honest with you, what I want them to do is just close down all these factories and just move stuff to Mexico or whatever. Like, I don't like this. I don't like what people are saying on the picket lines. I don't like the principle behind the matter. We can talk about the math that goes behind it, which we will talk about some of the math, and then we can talk about the principle. We can argue that maybe the workers at these factories, maybe the people that are in the union, that they do need more of a raise. And if they've only gotten a 6% raise in the last 4 years, when we've had a cumulative 20% inflation over this time, well, you could argue that they need to get more of a raise. Or you could ask, well, what if those union workers could be replaced by people who are fine with whatever that wage is, because it's a higher wage than they're getting paid at the restaurant that they're working at right now. And they want to move from the restaurant they're working at to working at the auto manufacturer, because it's still a big pay bump, because they can get $25-$30 an hour. I'm working at this manufacturing plant for Ford or whatever. Well, they can't do that because these are union plants and you got to be in the union. So it's tough. Or, like Costco said, are they going to just get replaced by machines? Which is something that's been happening as well, clearly. You look at those factories, they're very different these days than they were 20, 30 years ago. A whole lot of robots out there. And this is going to speed that up for sure. I want to try to figure out how to frame this. When you go to like this article from, I don't know, I would just say Jacobin. It could be Jacobin, Jacobin. I don't know how you say it. I don't know what country that word comes from, but whatever. Big three auto workers are striking against concessions while shareholders reap a bonanza. So this idea here is that shareholders are reaping a bonanza. Now, when we talk about shareholders, that is always meant to make you think of these big wigs. They're wearing suits and smoking cigars, and they're raking in fat cash all the time. They say this morning, UAW launched a landmark strike against the big three automakers for their refusal to provide adequate pay and job security. Meanwhile, over the last year, the automakers have authorized $5 billion in stock buybacks. So when you hear something like, well, they authorized $5 billion in stock buybacks, that's supposed to make you think, oh, well, they're just they're paying themselves out and they don't care about paying the workers. A couple things about stock buybacks before we get into some of the videos from the picket lines. When they say they've authorized $5 billion in stock buybacks, that doesn't mean that they just flat out spent $5 billion on stock buybacks. Oftentimes, these are done over the course of, say, 5 to 10 years. What they're doing is they're telling their current shareholders and investors that they're going to spend this much money in buybacks over the next 5 to 10 years, as long as the conditions are right for doing that. They may or may not do it, but they've authorized that much in stock buybacks. It doesn't mean that they just went out and did it. So that's the number one thing. They didn't just straight up spend the $5 billion. The other thing is, why is stock buyback and why is that bad? A big reason that you do this is to help the share price of your company. That is why you would do that. And people think that that just means you're helping out all the owners of the corporations. But in fact, you are helping out all of the people who own stock in that company. It's not just the CEO and all of the other people who have O's and their title and C's and whatever. And you're helping out everyone who's an investor. This is people's pensions, 401ks, private retirement accounts, anyone else. You're helping keep the value of the stock up. If you look at these company stock, especially Ford and GM, when you look at their stock prices, if you would have bought their stock in 1997, you would have a 0% return on them right now. They're basically going flat. And why is that? Because people are moving into EVs. These companies have not been profitable enough to send these stock prices soaring or anything. And then when you take inflation and all that into account, you lost money if you held stock over this time. So they'll come in and they will announce a stock buyback. And what does that mean? Let me tell you real quick. Let's say that Ford was going to spend $5 billion on a stock buyback. We'll just use one company and say they're going to do $5 billion. Well, Ford trades something like 1 billion shares a month. There'll be a billion shares bought and sold. So they got a specific amount of shares, and people are trading that on the stock market back and forth, and they agree upon a price that they're going to trade it on back and forth. Well, when you say that we're going to spend $5 billion, well, that's 500 million shares-ish of Ford stock, or 400 million or whatever it comes out to. And so what you're telling them is there's going to be a lot higher volume because we're going to come in as a buyer of the stock. And so it's not just going to be all the normal volume that there is is not going to be all the normal buyers. We're telling you there's going to be another buyer, and it's going to be a big buyer. It's going to be us, and we're going to be spending $5 billion on the stock. So you don't want to get rid of your stock right now because we're about to increase the demand for these shares. Not only that, as they're buying back the shares, they are removing shares from the market. I don't want to get too far into the weeds here, but there's a certain amount of shares out there available for people to trade on the market. All right. As they buy that back, they remove shares from the market, decreasing the quantity available and increasing the demand for those shares because they're becoming a buyer of them. That can send the stock price up as well. All right. It's not just good for all the big wig owners of the company. It's good for everyone that owns it. They're not just saying we're going to buy $5 billion worth of stock from the CEO. They're saying we're going to buy $5 billion worth of the stock. That benefits anyone who owns the shares of the company. They're just going to go out there and buy them. Anyone can sell them that stock when they go to buy it. This is the case when they're not just buying preferred shares that only the owners of the company own. Okay? Those are a little bit different. Those are not what I'm talking about right now. And so when you hear people talk about stock buybacks, you're supposed to immediately think it's a bad thing. But it's not immediately a bad thing. It's good for anyone that wants to be an investor in the company because it can help keep the price up. And it's good for the company because it keeps people investing in it, and they need people to invest in it so they can spend that money on whatever it is they want to spend it on. So those are good things. It's not immediately a bad thing. I'm not saying that it's never just to enrich the top bigwigs at the company, because they also happen to have a lot more shares than most other people would, but it's not the only thing that happens. I want to play some of the videos from the picket lines, and I'll tell you why this has been concerning to me. One of the things concerning is exactly what's on screen right now. You've got people like Bernie Sanders out there speaking at these rallies. Why is he out there speaking at these rallies? Because what's happening with UAW and the message that they're preaching to their workers is exactly the kind of message that we've been hearing Bernie Sanders and AOC and others like them preaching to Americans and the world for years and years now. It is a very socialist worker ownership anti-capitalist message. So there is a reason that people like this go out there and speak. And so when I hear the UAW president speaking, or I hear the people on the picket line speaking, it's basically things coming from the brain and the rhetoric of people like Bernie Sanders. I'm not saying it's directly tied to him, but there is a reason that he's out there speaking. We'll play, this is kind of the hype video, Stand Up and Strike, Stand Up and Strike, right here for UAW. I hope you like my singing right there. It's very good. So let's play this couple minutes.
You know, over the last 8 weeks, the CEOs didn't seem to be able to find the time to show up for bargaining. But in the last week, the CEOs and the executives have found a lot of time to be able to go on corporate news and talk the talk.
They pretend that the sky will fall if we get our fair share of the $250 billion the Big Three has made over the past decade. They want to say that our righteous fight for a higher quality of life for the working class would wreck the economy.
We're not going to wreck the economy. We're going to wreck their economy because it only works for the billionaire class.
The workers united will never be divided. The workers united will never be divided.
So let's talk facts.
First off, I'll say that we're not going to wreck the economy. We're going to wreck their economy. What kind of a self-defeating message and ideology is that? Their economy is the one that all of this money is coming from. And you'll see, this doesn't just have to do with UAW and the big three auto manufacturers. This is socialism in general. They can't look towards the future. You look at any cases throughout history, Venezuela would be a really good one, where you get all this money coming in from oil and they decide that they're just going to pay it all out, all the money that's coming in. They don't invest towards new things. Instead, it should all get paid out to the people. And then what happens when you're not up on the technology, you haven't been innovating. You see what happens. You're not able to refine oil. You're not able to ship oil, stuff like that. So now let's get into the facts, as they say.
In just 4 years, Big Three profits have shot up 65%. Business is booming.
Okay, first off, this is a common thing I've been hearing. In 4 years, the Big Three profits have shot up 65%. Now, that's not entirely incorrect, technically. Technically, it's not entirely incorrect. This top chart, this top thing I have on the spreadsheet, if you're watching the video on YouTube or Rumble or whatever, and you can check that out. This top thing here shows Stellantis, GM, and Ford. And you look over the last 4 or 5 years and the percentage change. 2018, I'm just going to do 2018 to 2022. $15 billion in total net profits for those three. And in 2022, $24.75 billion in net profits for those three. That is an increase of 64.12%. Okay, so they say 65%. That's fine. That's fine. There is a caveat to this, and I wanted to get this point across. Stellantis is an outlier here, and this just matters when people are using these arguments to make the case for why they should be able to charge all this money. And we don't even have to make the math case. We can make a philosophical libertarian case for the auto manufacturers should pay out whatever it is that they want to pay out to their workers. And if those workers don't like it and they can get a better deal somewhere else, then they need to go work somewhere else. That's what they need to do. And if other people will come in to that factory and work and they'll be happy with $25 or $30 or $35 an hour, then that's great. That's how the market works. But when you throw the union on top of that, that's no longer how it works. They're going to try to force them to pay higher wages instead of those people just going to where their skills are more highly valued by other companies, which is the way that we would like to see it. But we're not going to see that in this case. Stellantis is a big outlier. Here's an important. Stellantis is a merger between Chrysler, Fiat, and this PGA group. I think it was PGA. I can't remember what it is now. It starts with a P. Whatever group. And this is a European company. Okay, this merger happened in 2021. So if you look at Stellantis, you have 2018, $3 billion, 2019, less than $3 billion, 2020, $2.5 billion, 2021, $13.2 billion. 2022, $16.8 billion. The merger was approved in 2021. At that point, this company took over ownership of companies like Maserati and a whole bunch of other European manufacturers that have EVs and other cars that are selling all over the world, making tons of money that they didn't have beforehand when it was just Chrysler Fiat. And so they jump in 2020, $2.5 billion to 2021, $13.2 billion when that merger goes through, and now they're counting all of those sales as well. So when you're talking about the percentage change and the net profit with all these companies, that's an important thing to remember because that is a giant portion of the change. In fact, if this merger didn't happen, and by the way, Maseratis aren't made in the U.S., okay? If this merger didn't happen and Chrysler Fiat just kept going the way it was, and I was even generous with the numbers, and you gave them $3 billion in 2021 and $5 billion in 2022, assuming that their profits jumped 40% from 2021 to 2022, then you've actually got a 14% decline in net profits over that amount of time, without that Stellantis merger bringing in all of those European brands. So things are not quite what they seem. They really are the outlier. They shouldn't even be included in this discussion because when you look at GM and Ford, GM, best case scenario, has got 22% increase in net profits over this time. Ford, from 2018 to 2022's profits, is minus 153% is what the number comes out to. They lost $2 billion in 2022. Ford did. They made a bunch of money in 2021, but that's because of their ownership in Rivian. When Rivian went public and Rivian started delivering vehicles, and they have a percentage ownership in Rivian. And so they took in a bunch of increased gain on their Rivian investment that they made. And that's the year that that paid off. And in 2022, they're back down to losing $2 billion. 2020, they lost over $1 billion. Okay? So things aren't as rosy for these companies as everyone is making it seem right now, in a big part because of the Stellantis merger in 2021, and in another big part because of the only reason Ford made any money in the last 2 years, 3 years, was because they made an investment in Rivian that they got paid out like $10 billion on. All right, so that's I just feel like that's important to keep everything in context when these people are making these points. No one talks about this.
For that same period, CEO pay has skyrocketed by 40%. They're absolutely rolling in the money. Big Three spending on stock buybacks is...
Well, I'll have to stop and talk about this one more time. We've already gone through the CEO pay argument. We did that on Dumb Bleep of the Week last week. But the CEO pay argument is null and void. It does not matter. You can take all of the money from the CEO and divide it out amongst all of the workers, and it would be something like an 11-cent raise per hour for all of the workers. If you just gave it to the union employees and not all of the workers, it would be something like a 40-cent raise per hour for all of those workers. So regardless, whichever way you cut it, the CEO pay does not matter. Anytime someone talks about the CEO pay, they are purely talking to you on an emotional basis. They are not talking about math. They are not actually giving you any accounting that matters, that means anything. They are trying to play on your emotions, your envy, your greed for other people's money, which is envy, in my opinion. So that's what they're doing, and they assume that that's going to take your guard down, you're going to feel envious, and that you're going to want to get more money. But it does not matter. The numbers do not matter.
It's up a staggering 1,500%. Average new car price buybacks is up a staggering 1,500%. Average new car price...
They talk about buybacks, once again, like we did in this previous article we were discussing, because of that $5 billion buyback that they did. Okay, and that's up 1,500%. $5 billion in buybacks, okay, that's some money. Maybe over this entire time, over 10 years, they spent $10 billion on buybacks, okay. Well, if you take these three together, and we'll talk about this a little bit later because it's important, new investments in changing over to EVs and making EV batteries because of the incentives placed above them by the presidential administrations, that's totaling somewhere like $100 billion. All right. Coming up, we're going to talk more about this UAW strike and how I believe it tells us that the socialist revolution is coming. Some of you union guys out there might not like this, but guess what? I don't like unions either. Liberty at Night on the Free Talk Live Network.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. The House has scheduled the first hearing for the impeachment inquiry into President Biden for September 28th. The House Oversight Committee will concentrate on constitutional and legal questions pertaining to the president's alleged involvement in corruption and abuse of public office. Republicans continue to criticize the president's economic plan as the possibility of a government shutdown looms. Congressman Pat Fallon, leading a congressional hearing, labeled Bidenomics a total failure.
Biden administration apparently doesn't care if a gallon of milk costs $6, so long as it forces everyone to purchase an electric vehicle that costs more than the yearly median household income.
Democrats countered, accusing the GOP of steering the nation toward a disruptive government shutdown. Eagle Pass, Texas, a border town, has enacted an emergency declaration due to a surge in illegal immigration. This past weekend alone, the southwest border saw over 35,000 arrests. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
What's up, y'all? This is Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie. Nate Thurston here from Good Morning Liberty. Charlie's not here for this segment or the last one. He'll be here for the rest of the show. Before that break, we've been talking about this UAW strike, and I told you, I think the socialist revolution is coming. We were talking about the stock buybacks and how UAW is making a big deal out of those, but they're not talking about the investments these companies have been making. And so why look at the stock buybacks and say, well, they've been able to do this, so we should get paid more money, when they've done 20 times more in that in investment towards new technologies? It's because you're trying to make people envious once again and get them to do whatever it is that you want them to do.
Prices are up 34%. They're price gouging the hell out of the American consumer. Inflation's up 20%.
I didn't plan on spending this much time on this video, but new car prices are up 30-something percent, and that's price gouging. Or the raw materials that they're paying for to make these vehicles have also gotten way more expensive over time. Okay, their profit margins are still really small. These companies are still the 5-6% net profit margin, something like that, is what they're making. Okay, they're ignoring the fact that the raw goods, the raw materials going into the vehicles have gone up quite a bit. Even electricity costs for the factory, shipping costs for all the cars, they're not paying attention to any of that. It's just price gouging. That's all it is. Once again, they're just trying to get in your emotions. Inflation is 20%. The next point that they make is a true point. Inflation 20% over this time they're doing since the last contract that they did. And I believe their pay went up 6% over that time. Is that the automaker's fault that inflation was 20% during this time? Or did it have something to do with the government printing trillions of dollars? Okay, so maybe the company is going to have to come in and account for this. But then here's another weird thing. Like, why did their wages only go up 6% through this time? Because that's what the union contract said. That's the thing about getting locked into a union contract. You get this contract, and then that's what your wages go up during this time. Wages for other workers who aren't in union contracts have gone up closer with inflation, although not all the way with inflation. They've gone up more than these guys. Well, that's because they were locked in contracts. Okay, so that's the pluses and minuses to dictating to the companies over a four-year term or however long it is what they're going to have to pay you. Sometimes you lose on that. You got to take the bad with the good.
So you better believe Big Three price gouging has a lot to do with that also. And auto workers' wages are up a mere 6%. So we've continued to fall further behind.
In their economy, one of our workers would have to work 400 years to make what the CEO makes in 1 year.
So that argument right there, one of our workers would have to work 400 years to make what their CEO makes in 1 year. That's an emotional argument. You could say that to someone and they could feel like they've got no chance of ever getting ahead or whatever. But it has no bearing on what people are getting paid. Like it doesn't matter. You can do the math on it. You can easily do the math on it. And it doesn't matter. You could double the CEO's salary. You could triple the CEO's salary. You could pay the CEO 20 times more, and it might not equal, if you took all that money and gave it to the workers, what they're asking for a raise right now. Because there's so many workers, and when you divide out $30 million out between 100,000 workers, doesn't come out to very much money. That's just the way that math works. I'm sorry. Math is mean sometimes. It's mean math. All right, I'm going to go to one of the other videos. We've got Party for Socialism and Liberation. So you got some great people posting stuff out here. Let's see what some of these workers that are striking are saying.
You get a raise of every other year, 45 cents. 45 cents. Him, me, him, him, Oscar. That's our raise, 45 cents every other year. Not every year, every other year.
The retirees out here can barely pay for their prescriptions. After they just gave 30 years, 40 years of their life, they can barely put food on the table. You got people working in these plants who can't even buy the trucks and the cars that they build.
1, 2, 3, 4, we are fighting anymore! 1, 2, 3, 4, we are fighting anymore!
We've had a 6% raise over the last 4 years. The high wigs, or big wigs, or whatever you want to call them, they've gained 40%, which is crazy.
The way the system is built right now, it's not built for the middle class and the lower people to win. It's not, and if we don't do it right now, your kid's going to be in trouble.
So they're all out there echoing Bernie Sanders' democratic socialist, communist arguments right now on the strike, on the picket line for the unions. And so you ask me why I don't like unions, is because this is the mentality that has to go in to having a union. It is an anti-capitalist mentality. It's an anti-business owner mentality. It's a pro-worker, and hey, I'm pro-worker. But there's different ways to be pro-worker. That's why we believe in a free market. You want people to have more opportunities out there. And like I said, if this guy right here on screen is not making enough money to help his kids or do whatever it is that he's trying to do, then I would recommend that he get a job making more money somewhere else. But he might not be able to. He probably can't. And so why does he just automatically deserve more money if you can't command more money like that in the market? Here's another person talking about some of the same stuff.
It would take just somebody like me 40 hours a week.
Yeah.
no overtime, 365 years to make what our CEO made in 1 year. 365 years. I don't know that you need $22 million a year to enjoy yourself. I don't know. I wouldn't be able to sleep at night. That's just the person I am.
I agree.
Like, making that money, like, knowing that there's kids on the street, homeless, like, I just, that's just me. I don't know. They're a different kind of breed, I think. I just now, after 8 years in August, I just now reached top pay, and I just now started making, I think, a dollar more than what my mom made when she retired.
In
1997.
So 25 years later.
Yes. I mean, eventually in 10 years, you're going to have a lot of money or you're going to struggle. There's not going to be any happy meet. I hope that doesn't happen, but it worries me that it will.
So yet again, the argument that she'd have to work 365 years to make what the CEO makes, and she wouldn't be able to do that. You know, she just wouldn't be. Well, then don't worry about it. There's one person doing that and it has nothing to do with your wage. And then she goes into talking about, well, there's a lot of people that are hurting out there that are struggling. There's people in the streets. There's hungry kids or whatever it is that she was talking about. But she's not talking about giving that money to them. She's talking about the company needs to pay billions and billions more dollars to the people that are working for this company. And they're making some of the best wages that are out there in the economy right now. Some of these people making that. It goes from $18 to $32 an hour. When you look at the total compensation, these are numbers that the companies have been throwing out, and it's important to look at it. When it goes to total compensation, pension and benefits, stuff like that, they say that they're actually paying $66 an hour for their workers because of all of the benefits. Now, I haven't done all the math on that. I haven't looked into it. There's several people that are throwing those numbers around, the CEOs of the companies and stuff like that. Maybe it's all propaganda. Maybe it's all made up. I don't know. But that's total compensation. And we're talking about the CEO's total compensation. So I think we should compare total comp to total comp. And in my opinion, I think we should. I believe we got one more video here. Let's see. Yep. And here we go.
Well, the more I think about it, you hear this term income inequality. I think that's the wrong term. This is just theft. It sounds to me like these companies are wage slavery, you said.
Yeah, wage slavery. I mean, how can someone work 6 hours, 6 days, 10 hours a week, or 10 hours a day, and still not be able to afford? You can't even afford a cat if you wanted a cat. Like,
a cat, you said?
Forget kids. You can't afford an animal if you wanted an animal. Like,
I can't afford the houseplants I have just to water them and, you know, buy soil.
Well, get rid of your houseplants. Just get rid of them. Put them outside in nature. You can't afford a cat? Don't get a cat. All right. Put it out in nature, too. The cat's a prisoner anyway. I feel bad. You know, every time I open the door, the cat trying to go outside. I'm like, no, cat, you got to stay in your cell. You got to stay in your prison cell. Okay. So, I don't know, maybe don't imprison helpless animals. They want to come inside, too. They just want to go. They want to do both. You know how cats are. They're curious about stuff. But this is theft. This guy says the more he thinks about it, it's wage slavery. It's theft. You know, it's not theft or all of the taxes that are being taken out of these people's paychecks without their consent, and all of the inflation that has happened over the last few years without people's consent. That's not theft. It's that these companies aren't paying more money than they might even be able to afford to these workers. And the thing is, they're going to do the math on this, and it's going to work out to where they'll have to raise the price of the cars. They're going to have to decrease the amount of workers that they have. They might have to move some factories overseas, and they might have to invest less in some of the things that they're wanting to invest in right now. Like that's just what's going to happen. You're not going to get around it. The companies can't just lose money every year, and they want to make a certain amount of money also. So they want to make 4% or 5% every single year to be a good company. People aren't going to invest in it if they're not making that much every year. So we'll see what happens. I'm not going to go through the rest of this article we were just talking about, but let's talk about some of the reasons why this is happening. They put out stats like these companies have made a couple hundred billion dollars over the last 10 years. Now, That's true. When you look at their net income, I was going through some of their statements. You could see I was looking at some of their numbers. It's true. They have gone through and made a couple hundred billion dollars over the last 10 years. But what have they been doing with it? Well, they're not just paying it out to the people up at the top. It's not even sitting in their bank account, because you can look at their cash balances, and their cash balances haven't changed that much over that time. I think GM has $20 billion in cash. Ford, I think, less than that. Stellantis is probably doing the best out of all of them, but we've already talked about some of the issues with Stellantis. What about some of the rules that the government has placed on these companies? We talked about this when they announced it last year. New EPA rule, U.S. fuel economy rules, will soon require 49 miles per gallon average. Now, that takes a lot of innovation to get to that, a 49 miles per gallon average. So what you're going to do that, you're going to have more hybrids, and you're going to have more EVs, and they're going to be required to have this. I think this is like by 2030 or so, they have to have 49 mile per gallon average. It might be even sooner than that. So they put these rules over the top of the companies, and you're talking about Fords and Chevys and Dodge, you know. They're not exactly known for their amazing fuel economy. They're not like Tesla, who comes in and only does EVs, and so clearly the miles per gallon doesn't apply to them. They've got to retool their whole setup to be able to do this. All right, they're not set up to be EV companies. This has been a big transition for them to switch into EVs and hybrids. Massive transition for them, which requires a lot of money. Billions and billions of dollars it requires. Now, in the Inflation Reduction Act, here's an article that we've discussed in the past. Biden's EV push could end up costing taxpayers four times more than advertised. EV push costing taxpayers four times more than it was advertised. That they had initially said it was going to cost $30 billion, and now they're saying it could end up costing over $100 billion. A big portion of this has to do with what they're going to pay these companies for their EV battery plants, essentially subsidizing their EV batteries. And all of these companies, because of these subsidies for the batteries, have transitioned into building battery manufacturing plants in the U.S. Billions and billions of dollars into this. Let's see. Following the rash of new battery investments totaling more than $73 billion from these companies, $73 billion in 2022 alone they have put into making batteries, because the government's going to be subsidizing the batteries for them. Okay, you got Ford saying that they're going to receive $7 billion in tax breaks from 2023 to 2026. GM expects $300 million just in 2023. $17.5 billion between 2023 and 2026 for the automakers, and that's including Tesla, that the government's going to be paying out. And that's just batteries. And so they put this incentive over the top of the companies, and they say, well, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to put all of our money into making batteries so we don't have to buy them from China, because that's what people are worried about. What's the other thing that's happening? Well, the government is also doing this $7,500 tax credit for EVs. And so an interesting part here is that they're taking money from the people through taxation, and they're then turning around and giving it back to these companies, which we know, as we talked about in the past, is raising the prices of the cars that they're manufacturing. Then they take the tax money, which some of it got taken from the workers, by the way, and then they give it back to these companies for their higher priced vehicles. Of course, that's once they transition themselves into fully EV manufacturing companies. The problem that we're running into here is that you might not be able to do both of these things. Okay? Here's an article from, I think this year, Ford spending $11.4 billion investment in new EV battery plants. Previous year, 2022, Ford announces $3.7 billion to invest to build electric vehicles. Now, when they talk about the combined $5 billion in stock buybacks, that's supposed to make everyone really mad. Oh, they're wasting all this money. Well, just Ford in 2022-2023 right there announced $14.7 billion investing towards EVs and batteries. no one's talking about that. They're talking about like the $1 billion, $2 billion or whatever out of that stock buyback number, because that includes all of the companies. They're talking about that, and that's them being greedy and wasting their money. So the problem they're running into is that they're essentially being mandated by the government to transition into being EV companies. All right. To be able to do that, they've got to like rebuild their companies because they're not built to do this. They've got to make new manufacturing plants. They've got to retool all of the current plants. If you followed Tesla for a long time, it took them a long time to get all this stuff figured out. And that's what Ford and GM and even Stellantis with Chrysler and Fiat and all that, what they're trying to figure out. It takes a lot of money to do that. And so as they make these profits, the profits that people are worried about over the last 10 years, because we look at things in increments of 10 years, I guess, they can either take the $200, $250 billion in profits and give it all to the workers that are currently working there, or they can take it and do this transition into green energy vehicle, green vehicles or whatever. I don't want to say green energy because it's still going to be coming from dirty energy, most of it. Which one is it going to be? They're not going to be able to do both of them. So if this UAW strike ends up equaling the 40% or 35% pay increases that people want, that could end up costing these companies a lot of money. How much a lot of money? I forgot to put the article in here. I had an article from Business Insider that I just pulled today. What did the fact on at the top of it say? UAW demands would add $80 billion to U.S. car maker labor costs. Now that's over the course of the agreement. I think it's 4 years, so $20 billion more a year. But there's $80 billion that they're going to be spending on transitioning into being new car companies. And instead, they're going to pay out that much more in labor. You think it's going to increase the price of the vehicles? How are they going to get enough money to go out there and transition to EVs and making clean batteries? They're either going to raise the prices so they can make a bunch more money and put that towards it, or they're going to go to the government for help. And the government's going to have to give them your money to go and build these factories and manufacture all these batteries and these new cars. No such thing as a free lunch. That's the moral of the story. And the biggest problem I have with all of this is the socialist mindset behind it. The mindset of, well, they made these profits. That means it needs to go out to these workers. Record profits mean record wages. That's kind of the thing that they've been saying. Record profits could mean record wages if you don't want to expand your business or if you're not trying to entirely create a new business, like what these companies are needing to do right now. And right now they need to fully transition to being new companies that make vehicles like Tesla does. Okay. This is going to help Tesla in the short term quite a bit. And by the way, UAW going after Elon Musk right now as well, saying that greedy people like Elon Musk, workers shouldn't accept lower wages so greedy people like Elon Musk can build more rocket ships. Now, on one hand, he's talking about the fact that Tesla is not a union automaker. And when you look at their pay comparisons, Tesla pays the same total compensation or more by some calculations. I haven't done all the calculations. When you include their stock options and benefits, Musk responded and said that some of the people at the company have become millionaires over the last few years with what's happened with Tesla's stock. Okay. That's a long-term mindset for people that are actually taking real profit sharing and even real ownership in the company of the goods that they are making. It's a longer-term mindset where some of the people working at the company have just become millionaires because maybe they didn't have a union, but they were getting paid shares of Tesla, which then skyrocketed, and they made a ton of money. Which one sounds better? I think what Tesla's doing sounds better. And then the sad part of this, once again, this mindset where you can't look at towards the future. Greedy people like Elon Musk building more rocket ships. Rocket ships are pretty important, all right? We've gotten a lot from our space programs over the years, a lot of new inventions. I think going to Mars is cool. I think the innovations that are going to come from the attempt to go to Mars is going to be even cooler. And then when you look at things like Starlink, throw an internet around the world to places that have not been able to communicate, third world countries that haven't had any infrastructure, but they can get it. Or even if you care a whole bunch about people in Ukraine and they didn't have any way to communicate until all those Starlink terminals were sent over there, you care about that too. But it's more important that Elon Musk took all the money that Tesla made, which, by the way, they were losing money for a long time, took all the money Tesla made and just gave it to all the workers and then never invested in anything else in the future after that. And that is why socialism fails. One of the main reasons that socialism fails. And that's what all of these people are missing right now. That's a very scary mindset. I've been worried about the socialist takeover for a long time, not personally, but for the world in general. It might not come through government. I see it more in what these unions are doing right now. This anti-capitalist mentality where you can come in with aid of the government and the Department of Labor and the fact that they can't just now fire all of these union employees and hire all new ones at these factories. So they have the aid of the government, but they come in, they form the union, and then they control the company essentially. It's a de facto worker ownership and seizure of the means of production by way of using the Department of Labor and the force that they are allowing them to have as well. So that's why I don't like what's happening right now. I like to actually look at the math involved in it, and I want to see what would happen in a free market. The union is not part of a free market. What the government does is not part of a free market. And the companies themselves getting tons of incentives with these EV credits for batteries and the cars, not even operating in the free market either. And these are all symptoms of that problem. And here at Good Morning Liberty and Liberty at Night on Tuesdays, we push for a free market because that is the only moral and just way for a society to organize itself, not even to be organized, but to organize itself, because that truly is people just acting freely with one another. So if you agree with those things, maybe you want to listen to our podcast every day of the week called Good Morning Liberty. You can find that on your favorite podcast app. You can find this Free Talk Live episode on their podcast channel. Look for Free Talk Live on your favorite podcast app. Or you can go to BernieWise.com and find all of our stuff. Coming up, we're going to be talking about the antitrust case against Google and some of the dumb tweets from last week.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.